Let's put a song so you can sing along with a special guest or two.
Or two.
You like to sing and dance, and this podcast by chance explores musicals for you. Theme Song, yeah!
Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of Life's But a Song, a podcast that likes to live in the land of musicals. I'm your host, John, and with me today is my favorite redheaded guest. It's Ariana Arman, everyone. Woo! How's it going, Ariana?
Going.
Yep. You're here to close out live month, because we're here today to talk about the 2021 version of Annie Live.
Wow.
Ugh. Do you hate me?
I don't hate you.
Are you still angry about our Aria?
I mean, that's just always going to be a thing.
Can you tell your mom you've paid me back already?
Like, yes. Yes, absolutely.
Watching this, I kept thinking back to the cabaret we did last year, and I was, and you know, your mom messaging everything, and I was just like, man, Ariana's mom needs to know that Ariana now has paid that debt. Paid back. Paid me
and
back.
Then and, some.
And then some. So Annie Live, the book is by Thomas Meehan, music by Charles Strauss, lyrics by Martin Sharnan, directed by Lear DeBusschet and Alex Rudzinski.
I don't know who these people are.
Alex Rudzinski.
What else have they done?
Alex Rudzinski did almost all of the lives.
Oh, okay.
He is the film director of it.
Okay.
And then Lear DeBusschet, I'm guessing that's how you pronounce their last name, is like the stage director. So, but Alex, we're going to have some words in this episode. But before we do that, according to IMDb, a young orphan opens the heart of billionaire Sir Oliver Daddy Warbucks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so over Annie.
You know, I am too, honestly. As like as much of a formative thing as this was for me, Annie in general. And I'm still like I still like the movie.
The 82 movie, yeah.
82 movie. This was not it.
So to start with some compliments, because yes. I do have some compliments.
Yes, there were some positives.
Selena Smith, who is our Annie, can sing the house down without everything. Mm-hmm. Her acting is sus, but you know, belting. Yeah. To maybe was like fuck yes, tomorrow and everything. She was a great singer. Titus carried this on his poor back.
There
so.
Was a marked difference for me the minute Titus and Megan, because you're dealing with outside of them. You weren't really dealing with stage performers. You weren't really dealing with musical theater performers.
Besides Titus and Megan, yeah.
Right.
Well,
I mean, Nicole has now has a lot more.
And Harry Connick Jr. did on a clear day.
Yeah, but that was like stunt, like Harry Connick I saw on a clear day, and I liked him in that. I feel like that was a little more stunt casty though, and a little more of a realistic character than like a Daddy Warbucks kind of character.
Oh man, he was not in this. He was like, I think he regretted signing the contract.
Yeah.
And you could see it in the performance, because he's just like, Annie, what are we doing? Let me give you your locket, because we've got this new one for you. And if you could see my face, everyone, it's
devoid.
I'm not moving. It's devoid of emotion. And it felt like Taraji P. Henson was doing something at least, but it felt like she was trying to be Carol Burnett.
There were things I liked about her performance, and then there was just no subtlety to it. The thing about Carol Burnett is, yeah, she was broad and over the top, but there was also a subtlety in moments.
Right.
And I felt like Taraji was just like, yeah, and I'm Miss Hannigan, and I'm the bad guy. You know?
I had a realization during this one, that after doing this whole month of lives, it feels like there are actors who are not known as singers just wanted to do them so they can prove that they can carry a tune. And I realized that during Little Girls with Taraji P. Henson, because she probably was like, I'm going to be doing The Color Purple. I don't know if she knew that at this point or not, but I still haven't seen The Color Purple, but that's neither here. So I don't know how she did in that, but I
Sure.
have a feeling that like these lives were a little more low stakes than doing like a full feature film.
Right. But did you see Muppet Haunted Mansion? Because she plays the bride in that, and she has this really fun song.
No, I did
And
not.
she's and it's more subtle, and she's also like the villain in that. And her performance is more subtle and more interesting in that
Yeah.
as the Attic Bride than she was as Miss Hannigan to
Because
me.
don't get me wrong, she's got the chops.
Oh yeah.
At least she was doing something. Nicole Scherzinger is also doing something. I don't know what, but she's definitely doing it.
My question is that there were things about this that I was like, is this an issue of we're trying to put on a live television performance in a very limited amount of time, so we're not developing the interpersonal relationships we would develop in a rehearsal process for a stage production? I felt like there was, for the most part, just a very big disconnect with everybody, that
Oh, yes.
there was no connection with character, there was no connection with, why is my computer telling me stupid things? Go away. Having a serious conversation. The relationships didn't feel connected to me between the characters, between the actor and their character, and then just interacting with each other on stage. Again, with the exception of like Tituss Burgess and Megan Hilty, because this is where they come from.
I and the ensemble,
And the
because
ensemble.
the
I
ensemble is.
liked the orphans better than I liked Annie.
Yeah. It
Like the
also.
Molly was good.
Yeah, like the kids were great, even though, because I know when we did the second chance of the 82 Annie, I was complaining about, is it Tess? Who's the one that
Yeah.
says, "Oh my
Oh
goodness?"
my goodness, Duffy. I think it's
Duffy.
Duffy.
At least this one, it wasn't grating for me.
Well, and she didn't say it as much.
She did in the beginning,
And yeah,
and
there
that
was
was
it was
it.
pulled back.
Right, and it wasn't too whiny. It was still like she had a different emotion behind it. But I agree with you with everything you just said, and I'm going to add that this is post-pandemic. So it may
Yes.
have been even more rushed. It may have been less rehearsals because of COVID
Well,
regulations and
I mean,
everything.
Megan Hilty came in last minute because it was supposed to be Jane Krakowski and she got COVID
Right.
and couldn't do it. So it's also kind of
But did she? Did she see the
or
writings on the wall and was
did she
like,
make a smart decision?
yeah. Well, because I mean, I know that her and Titus worked together on Kimmy Schmidt, so at least that would have been some great play off of each other.
Right.
And they know each other for a few years now, so it's like we have this relationship. But yeah, there.
Yeah.
And I think also half of this was like, I basically had to bribe myself in order to watch this because I was like, it's time. We have a recording today, so you have to watch it.
Yeah,
You ran out of time.
I watched it yesterday morning before work, and I had a really hard time connecting with it
Like,
in general.
I don't even know. Like, there's something about even the choreography that I was just like, all right. Like, they were, it was great dancing. Don't get me wrong, it was fun and the
Acrobat
core.
things, blah blah blah.
The what?
The girls doing acrobat stuff
Yes.
during Hard Knock Life, like all the backflips and I'm just like, who?
And you have Alex Wong in it, who is like, he's heavily featured and he is like big on the social media and everything. We have Mackenzie Kurtz playing the what is the star to be, where she's been on the pod, but watching the ensemble, it's more fun because I think they're also theater people. Because like there's that moment in You Never Fully Dressed Without a Smile, that whole sequence, and I'm watching Mackenzie because she is the one of the sisters, and she's like chewing gum and giving sass and giving character work. I'm like, where's this everywhere else?
Yeah, it just to me it was just all a big disconnect.
Now, speaking of disconnect, in a way, your ear is more musically tuned than mine is. Did it sound like a lot of the ensemble moment singing moments were pre-recorded?
It sounded like there were Sweetener tracks.
Especially like at the end and with all the kids and what's the what and I think we've got Annie. Yeah.
It sounded like there were Sweetener tracks. It sounded like a bigger ensemble than was actually there.
Yes, or it sounded like perfect. It didn't sound live, in other words. And I'm not sure what's happening there. Like if they were trying to cut costs by giving everyone a mic or
I'm not
something.
sure if that was just to add a fuller sound so that they were probably mic'd and singing live, but they had it's like it's like with theme park shows and things, they add these
Yes.
pre-recorded. It's not that they're not singing live, but it's that them singing live doesn't give a full enough sound and doesn't give the experience that the producers, directors, creative team wants, just because you're dealing with less people, or
I
like for
mean,
the theme
this
park, you're dealing with outside, so you're not dealing, you don't you
you're
don't
dealing with
have
elements,
control, you
right?
can't control the way the live vocals are going to be picked up as much as you could like in a theater. So you have these pre-recorded tracks that just fill out the sound, to make a bigger sound, or to make the sound make sure the sound is exactly what the creative team had in mind, that you can't necessarily get from what you're actually working with in the moment.
This one though, oh God, I was just like, what's happening? And like, also, what's up with everyone's stamina in this? Because
Well, we'd all just,
Nicole Scherzinger, right after, I think, is it We've Got Annie? Yeah, she does the dance and then she's out of breath, and there's that glass of water preset for her, and she drinks it. I'm like, girl.
Well, I mean, again, it was right after COVID and everybody's sitting around doing nothing for 2 years, 3 years.
True.
So, I think stamina was still, I'm still not back to my pre-COVID stamina. It's better, but
But it's something that I'm just like, did y'all not have enough rehearsal time? Like, again, did they not have enough rehearsal time? Like, I know it's COVID and everything, but like, honestly, what are we doing?
I don't, well, and I also feel like keys were not set appropriately.
What is up with Harry Connick Jr.'s songs? Did they change them? Yes, they made them a
Some of
little
them
more
were definitely
croonery.
changed. There were definitely changes to some of the songs. And I don't know the stage production well enough to like go back to that and to be like, this is what changed. But it didn't, there were things that didn't sound right.
Like NYC, I thought that whole number was supposed to be like up tempo or something. And when he started, I was like, what are we, what is this? Are we in a nightclub somewhere and you're singing jazz or something to me?
I mean, the problem is, Harry Connick Jr. has a very specific sound.
Yes.
And that specific sound doesn't translate to Daddy Warbucks.
No.
So you had like this kind of jazzy nightclub act, Daddy Warbucks. And I did not buy him in the role at all.
Oh God, when he showed up in
And
that bald cap, I was
at the
like, what
bald
the
cap.
fuck is
Oh, jeez.
this? What is this? Who, what are you doing? And then the fact that he barely gave a performance.
Yeah.
Honestly, he looked so bored up until basically the end. And even then, he's like, I'm trying to be
Yeah.
happy.
It was
You
just kind of
got
like,
Annie.
I'm Daddy Warbucks, and this is what Daddy Warbucks does, and we are doing these things because this is what Daddy Warbucks does, not because I'm putting myself in the place of this character and believing what I'm doing.
And I know you praised Megan Hilty,
Yeah.
but was she doing too much, or is it just that everyone else wasn't up to her level?
It's the second one.
Or is it somewhere in the middle?
She was because like she and Titus opposite each other were fine.
Yeah. And then when they did Easy Street with Taraji, that trio made sense because Taraji is a caricature of Miss Hannigan. But when she was with those three, I was like, ah, now it makes sense.
You know what it is? It's that everybody was in their own show.
Yes.
There was no cohesiveness and no, we're all doing the same show. It was, I'm over here doing my thing. You're over here doing your thing. We're doing a scene together, but I'm still doing my own thing. And I'm not really paying attention to how you're delivering your lines and how I should respond to your lines.
Because like a
I'm just
lot,
going to do what I rehearsed in my apartment.
I think I woke up and chose violence with this one. So I'm looking at my notes and I'm like, oh, this is, do I want to share this? Fuck it, I'm gonna share it. And it's a
Share
hard
it.
knock life. I
Yes.
wrote down, there's a weird dichotomy here where the girls are singing and dancing really hard, but then when they get into blocking, they drop everything.
Yeah.
Because they're like, high energy, we're singing and dancing. And then now we're at the hamper and we're still singing. And there's like zero energy there. I'm like, what's going on, guys? What's,
Yeah,
girls, come on.
everybody's in their own moment and their own and not.
Except for the adult ensemble, I will say.
Oh yeah, the adult ensemble is fantastic. But
Right.
again, I
And
think we're talking about actual Broadway
Broadway
performers. I
people.
think we're talking about actual performers who primarily work in live theater.
Who are like, I do this 8 times a week. Thank you very much.
Like this is the issue I had with a lot of these lives. Is they were casting names to cast names. And some of them made sense and some of them didn't. And some of them worked better than others. But just like overall, the whole series of these live musicals
And
for
you've listened to the
television.
past month's episodes where I basically said the same thing. Because
Yeah.
it's like, what is going, like, there's at least one person that you're like, ooh, maybe you're not right for this. I understand why you wanted to do it. I
Right.
understand, like, you're not right for the role, most likely. With this one, though, I mean.
And then it's like so it's like you pull Harry Connick Jr., you pull a Carrie Underwood. And then you pull, in supporting roles, you pull Megan Hilty and Titus Burgess and Audra McDonald. And the disparity between what you're getting from the Audra McDonald and the Titus Burgess and the Carrie Underwood and the Harry Connick Jr. is drastic.
Yeah. I think for this one, potentially Nicole Scherzinger is miscast. I would like to see her as Lily, and I would like to, and Megan Hilty can play anybody. She could be Annie for fuck's sake, let's be real here. And would still
Yeah.
deliver. I'd be like, "Oh, I believe you as an
Yeah.
11-year-old girl."
I don't think Nicole was miscast. I think she was mishandled. I think she was misdirected.
Okay. Well, because like when she did We Got Annie, I was like,
Mm-hmm.
oh, I understand because of the Pussycat Dolls and she's a dancer and like she looked great. That yellow dress, doing the work and everything. But like her line delivery, I guess you're right. It might be just the line delivery where she's
I
putting on
like
the
her
weird.
line delivery was a little odd, and I don't think that's her. I think that is the director's fault.
We'll blame the director for fuck's sake. Yes.
And I mean, because she's not the only one who had that kind of an issue.
Also, she decided to do a voice. It sounded like.
Well, did she decide to do it, or was she told to do
Well,
it?
there was a voice that she was doing. And I
Because
was just like,
she was
why?
kind of trying to put on that slightly mid-Atlantic and posh kind of I'm Oliver Wolfe's secretary, kind of
Yes.
thing. And again, was that her or was that the director?
Makes me wonder if she's doing a voice for Sunset Boulevard. Because
I
I don't.
mean, you kind of have to for Sunset Boulevard, but.
Well, I'm excited to see it when it comes over here. Because I fuck like she was fine in this. Like again with Taraji P. Henson, and I think Taraji as well was misdirected. Like they were doing great. Like they're showing. We've got the chops. Taraji, I think, had a little more to sh to showcase because,
I mean, seriously, go watch Muppet Haunted Mansion after this. Go watch Muppet Haunted Mansion. And in fact, we could do an episode because it's technically a musical. So,
okay, I'll add it to the
maybe we
list. Of
should do that.
Ooh, I'll add it to the list. I'm adding it to the list for Halloween.
Yes. Okay, I claim it.
Yes. Well, so was Muppet Haunted Mansion before this?
No, it was after this. Oh no, wait, no, it was before. It was. I'm gonna have to double check that
Okay, let me look it up while
because it
we.
was definitely filmed during lockdown.
So it came out the same year. And I feel like the Muppets Haunted Mansion happened in Halloween and this happened in December. So technically, yes, it came out beforehand. However, she still had work, like she still needed to show up and like Miss Hannigan has some iconic numbers in this, so like,
But again, especially if these came out, if those came out at the same time approximately, so they were probably filmed not too far apart. The
well,
performance she
no,
gives in that compared to
yeah.
the performance she gives here is so different. And so, and again, she's playing a larger than life kind of character. But the funny thing is, her performance in the Muppet Haunted Mansion movie is more believable and more nuanced.
Interesting. Yeah, this came Muppets Haunted Mansion came out in October and Annie Live happened in December. So it makes sense, but again, like I don't know if people saw the Haunted Mansion with her and knew that she could sing and then they see, "Oh, she's doing Annie Live," because that was advertised up the wazoo. I don't remember any sort of advertisement for Muppets Haunted
Well, I
Mansion.
mean, it was exclusively on Disney Plus, so.
Even then, like there was no, I felt like there was no commercials for it. But this one, there was definitely more. So people are like, Taraji P. Henson in a musical? What? And she sang. I wrote down during Little Girls though, like it makes sense why she would sing this song in this production because the girls are nightmares to her, but she deserves it.
Did you s
Like,
I
because.
loved there was a moment during Little Girls where Molly was like was behind her on the
Yes.
couch and
Yes. Like, doing a
like it
shadow
was
thing.
doing doing like a little shtick, and like that was probably the best part of the movie.
I lost my mind when the ventriloquist showed up because I was just like, oh, it happened.
Oh my God, my mom called me, and my mom's gonna listen to this and be like, I've been talked about on the podcast.
Multiple times.
My mom actually called me and she's like, let me explain to you the ventriloquist.
Oh, so we have an answer finally.
So we do have like sort of an answer, and it's a lot of like what I was saying, as far as like the performance, but a lot of radio, you don't see it in Annie, but a lot of the radio programs actually did have live like studio audiences, even if they were small. So there, so,
Oh,
so there was
okay.
that. My great grandfather was a very well-known jazz musician in the time.
Oh.
And actually, and so my mom was telling me that, you know, he was
Would
on
go to
radio
the
programs.
studios.
Like he was on radio programs with Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. And apparently
That's so
like part of the
cool.
shtick with Edgar Bergen was like he was not a good ventriloquist. Like you could like see his mouth moving. He was simply and you
Right.
kind of saw that with this Bert Healy.
Well, I mean,
You know. I
yeah.
mean, I granted that was also probably because I mean you're not really hiring a ventriloquist to do this,
Right.
for
You're
you know,
hiring
Annie
somebody
Live.
to be in the ensemble and be like, "You're Bert. Go,
Yeah,
here's your
you're
dummy."
hiring someone to be Bert Healy. But yeah, so like my mom was like all over the whole ventriloquist thing and like, no, there's reasons that it happens. I'm like, okay, mom.
Well, because you know, w after seeing the, I've only seen the movies of this, all three iterations of it, and now, well, sorry, now four, because this is technically a, I mean, this is a movie, but when the ventriloquist happened, I lost my mind, and I'm so excited they have that. However, I feel like the ending of the, because this is the stage version. But there is no car chase, and it just turns out that he gets letters from the FBI to
Yeah,
find out about
because he's
Rooster
got
and
because he I
Lily.
mean because he's got like all these connections, you know. They're like the stage production really plays up the, these connections he has being, you know,
I was waiting
all
for a
over
goddamn
Warbucks.
helicopter to come out.
Yeah,
Or autocopter, whatever the fuck
the
they called it in
autocopter.
the first movie. I was waiting for that. So this way. Fly away, because I mean, when it was about to happen and she's leaving, I was like, "This is it? This is so
Yeah.
boring."
Yeah.
Oh, no
That's
wonder
how you
they
feel.
added the car chase.
Just got a letter from Elliot Ness, who like was not that's not what he did in the FBI. He wasn't part of the FBI.
It's okay. Who cares? Nobody
Whatever.
cared.
Whatever. It was like all this weirdness. Yeah. And yeah, it was just there were definite changes made from the stage production, and unfortunately, I don't know the stage production as well as the 82 film.
Well,
So I was
they did a
just,
weird hybrid of the stage production and the 82 film for
yeah,
this. So
yeah,
you got Sign.
yes, and they changed that. Like the lyrics, I didn't like go compare or anything, but I'm listening to it. I'm like, there's these lyrics aren't right. There's something different and
It
not.
was less horny than
Yeah.
in the film.
Yeah. It was not as good. It was just, it was. The man's a crooner. The man's a
That's
crooner. And what he does is he croons and he croons everything. And it just doesn't work for me in musical theater. Like it worked in On a Clear Day because it was a different style of music and a
music,
different
right?
style of.
This is musical theater at its finest.
Yeah. And this was, and just.
What if
You
Jason
lock
Alexander
things in a
played Daddy
closet.
Warbucks?
Oh.
I know he's not, I know they want to cast somebody tall. Because you
Right.
want an adult looking, but somebody like Jason Alexander, you know, who can sell the Daddy Warbucks of it all, but
Yeah.
also sell the musical theater-ness.
I actually kind of like that idea because I mean, you think of Jason Alexander as being like very over the top and. And I think he can pull that back. I'd actually, well, now I want to see it.
I just pulled
now
a
I'm like,
name out of thin air, by the way. I wasn't
I
really
know,
thinking.
like it is a weird cast. It is a weird casting choice and not entirely an appropriate casting choice, but it's interesting.
Right. Because he can sell it. He could sell it better than Harry Connick Jr. did, for sure.
Yeah. Because I think he could pull, you know, I think he could pull back that manic George Costanza,
Oh, of course. Yeah. Like, he's. Have you
Max
seen him?
Bialystock thing and be a little more realistic. I'd actually be very interested. Now I want to see that. God damn it, John.
Let's make it
How do we make this
happen.
happen?
Let's go back in time when they
Right?
were planning the live and just whisper in somebody's ear, Jason Alexander has more. sucks.
Right.
That's all
And
we.
I met him in a parking lot once, and he's a very nice guy.
Oh, good.
He's very nice.
There is another person I'd like to highlight, and that is Alan Toy. He played
Yes.
FDR. Do you know of this person? I didn't know of this person prior to.
I not prior to this.
So I did a little digging, and it turns out Alan Toy is a polio survivor. They did a good with
Like
this.
they, yeah, they I, deliberately hired a polio survivor to play a polio survivor, which number one is cool. Number two, the fact that, in this day and age, they were able to find someone who had survived polio.
Right.
Just because we're, I think, far enough out of that, even somebody who survived polio, I don't know how many polio survivors are still
And
alive, just because we caught that
he's
and pretty
young
much ended
too.
it. Yeah, he's not. Yeah, he's not like I said. My grandfather was one of the first polio patients to be put into an iron lung, so.
I mean, young is a relative term. He's in his 70s, but I mean, like, he was born in 1950, so like that is after even the polio like scare when there was a virus, there was a what is it? The vaccine. There's the vaccine and everything. It turns out he had polio when he was 3, but he obviously survived it. And however, in the cabinet reprise of Tomorrow, is it bad that I laughed during his verse?
He's not exactly a singer.
Because he William Shatnered it. Him and Harry Connick Jr. William Shatnered a lot of their singing. Because it was. He did fine. He did fine. He did fine. As
I also,
FDR.
yeah, but I also feel like there were issues with keys. Like, I feel like Annie is a very hard role to cast in general, because finding a child who can sing that and not be annoying.
Yes.
And I felt like some of her keys needed to be lowered. I felt like she was getting that some of that belty stuff, and it was just pushing right at the edge of, right up to her break. And it was, and I noticed the same thing in I Think I'm Gonna Like It Here with Nicole. It felt like they had her really pushing up to her break on the belt. And I feel like some of those keys needed to be looked at.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, if they changed everything for Harry Connick Jr., why not change it for everyone else? Like the whole point of these lives is for everyone to succeed and to entertain the masses. So you're doing a disservice if you're changing things for one of your actors, but not for everyone, or making noticeable changes for everyone, I should say. 'Cause like those changes for Harry Connick Jr. very noticeable. As somebody who's only seen the movies, I was like, this doesn't sound right.
And like one like pet peeve of mine, and this is like probably really nitpicky and like a me thing, in maybe that it because it pulled me right out of it in the moment. There's the line, "She's sitting playing piano. She's supposed to say piano."
Oh, but she
She's
said
and
piano.
she like very like her diction was like, "She's sitting playing piano," and I was like,
Yeah, piano.
oh, and I like and it pulled me right out for a second. I'm like, that the diction was too good.
I wrote down, I don't during I don't need anything but you. So instead of a dance break, they have Harry Connick Jr. slap keys on a piano and hope it works. Because I mean, he played piano earlier and it was great to see him. And then in this number, the two of them are playing piano. But then towards the end of like the piano segment of the song, it just sounded like he was open palm hitting keys, you know?
Thing about like changing things for an actor, like Daddy Warbucks does not play piano, like that's not a thing. And so we put that in there to like stroke Harry's ego, you know, and to like let him show off.
They at least added a joke too about it
It did, yes. The Gershwin joke, yes.
to show. Oh God, like even getting into the Warbucks mansion, I know we're on set, and like after seeing the 82 film and everything, but like there's something about this production that just made me feel sick seeing a millionaire billionaire's mansion, even though it's on stage and there's nothing there. Like it's all set piece. It's all the cast. And I was just like, this is gross feeling. They stuck true with this being a stage production. 'Cause there have been
Yes.
others that other lives I've seen where they're like, it's a film as well, so we can do things. But this one was
Right.
like, no. We're gonna have a live studio audience that are going to react to some things. There wasn't a lot of laughter, I noticed. They don't do laughter on these, and I hate that. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. 'Cause it's like there's a joke there, and they are pausing for laughter, but for the home audience. So it's weird. But also, it should be like known to us that that's a joke. 'Cause sometimes sometimes it's not a joke when they're pausing, but sometimes there is a joke. So whatever. But some of the audience reactions, it was off as well. Like they would applaud randomly, and I'm like, why? What? They just sang a note. But this character has been established there during NYC. Like they walk out, and all of a sudden they walk out of the house and they applaud. And I was just like, why?
Because they had been cooped up for too long with COVID and they've forgotten how to react to things. Like we haven't seen a real live anything in 3 years.
I do like the fact that they added that line about theater is recouping well, and everyone gave an appropriate reaction to that, 'cause this was 3 months after Broadway reopened. That's wild to think of that.
Yeah, no, like that was, yeah, that
Moment
was
of silence
definitely.
for
Ooh.
that. Where I have so many questions and thoughts that I wrote down, but I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know where to go with this.
It's there's something about these lives that just never quite worked.
There's some of them that have done better than
There, yeah,
others.
there's definitely ones that have done better than others, but for some reason, they don't quite make them work. I don't know if it's because they're kind of rushing to put them together, if that makes sense. Like I said, I had a very hard time with this. Feeling connected to any of the characters. And I feel like that's an issue of like maybe either being under rehearsed or not spending enough time with it as a performer and not ever quite clicking into your character.
Well,
You know?
also, to take the pin out of Alex Rudzinski, there is a ton of mistakes in this. And it's like, okay, now did you not have enough time to rehearse in front of a camera or with the cameras? Because during Sign, I don't know what the fuck was going on with the camera work. Because there were people in shots that are behind the scenes. The Taraji P. Henson, I don't think hit her marks right, because there's a lot of times that like she's blocking and they were like, fuck, switch the camera too or whatever, you know.
Yeah, so I don't so it just I guess it felt under rehearsed to me. And maybe that's the issue with it. And
The thing though, I'm looking at the Wikipedia page though, and like NBC announced it in May of 2021. So like, and like the cast announcements came out in June. So like, I don't know what the excuse is besides
But how much,
COVID.
but like just because you know that far in advance, like this is what you're doing, you're also dealing with people who have very busy schedules. I mean, Harry Connick Jr. is off touring and doing whatever.
Well,
You're dealing with people who have
the
high
schedules are
profile.
opening up, you should say, because
Right.
we're coming out of the pandemic at this
Right.
point, and they're starting to do film projects and everything. So it makes sense, but they could have planned more time to be like, no, this is the first one after the pandemic. This, like, we want it to continue on, because I don't think they're doing any more lives after this one.
No, I don't think I don't I think this was it.
I think, yeah.
I mean, I don't think any of them ever did well enough to warrant
Jesus Christ
continuing
Superstar.
indefinitely. You
Jesus Christ
know?
Superstar was the best one, I
Yeah.
feel like, out of all of them.
But again, that one was like very heavy on actual Broadway performers.
Yes. Or musicians, because
Yeah.
there's not a lot of there's some acting to do, but like John Legend acts in his music video. Like, they act in their music video, so at least it works to their advantage. This one, however, they did hire actors, at least,
Yeah.
like Taraji P. Henson and Nicole Scherzinger has picked up some roles here and there. I mean, she's also on The Masked Singer, so there's some sort of like TV personality going on over
Right.
there. Harry Connick Jr., but like something happened. I don't know what.
It just like I said, the whole thing for me from the beginning felt disconnected.
Yeah.
Like in multiple aspects, you know, just like I said, disconnection of the performer from their character, disconnection between performers performing together. It just
Right.
nothing ever gelled for me.
'Cause like even when I'm sorry, I'm laughing.
This is fine.
Even when Selena Smith give like when they have that scene about her parents, and she's talking about the locket and everything, I'm like, what is this reaction that you're giving? Like, kudos to you for crying on cue, but like, are you okay?
I mean, I've always kind of had this thing with, she's always looking for her parents, and she knows her parents, didn't give her up because they wanted to. They gave her up because they had to, and they were going to come back for her. But she was also so young that she didn't remember them. So there was not like so there's like this, to me, she's got Annie has this kind of ephemeral connection with wanting her parents and like wanting her real parents, and but she doesn't know them. They're this thing she's made up in her head, basically, you know?
Yeah, she's made up the whole story and everything, and she's
And
fallen in love with the idea of her
right,
parents.
and so you get. You, yeah, it's the idea of I'm not really an orphan, I have parents. And you see in the 82 movie, when Daddy Warbucks tries to give her a new locket, you see her, she does the kind of
Viscerally, yeah.
viscerally react to that, and no, you can't take this from me. But she's not like turning into a weeping mess, you know?
Yeah, because during the maybe reprise that Nicole Scherzinger sings, I was like, it feels a little too real. Like, are you okay, actor?
Yeah.
Selena Smith, are you okay? Like,
Yeah. Because
what's
even,
going on right
yeah.
now?
And you see, like, and I didn't really think about this until we started talking about it too, but you see the way Annie reacts in the 82 film. You see when Rooster and Lily turn up as her parents, you see her kind of processing, well, shit, maybe this isn't what I want. I don't know these
She
people.
and
Why?
Selena kind of
Like,
does
yes, they're
that.
my, yeah, these are my parents, but why? You kind of see the understanding of, oh, I've created this thing in my head, and now that I have it, it's taking me away from my real family, which is Grace and Oliver and,
And the girls as
and the
well.
girls. Yeah. Like it's kind of a real, whoa, I'm having an epiphany.
Keep going. Come on. Come on.
This is
Ride the
like,
train. Ride the
I
train.
know, right? This is like one of those things showing you that like family is not necessarily people you're related to. It's the people in your life that you connect with. And just because someone shows up and is like, I'm your mommy, you know, don't you, doesn't mean you have that connection with that person and want to, you know, spend your time, you know, spend your Christmas with this person who popped you out, you know?
It's also weird that, like, in this production, it felt like Warbucks and Grace were just friends, just co-workers, just, and like Grace, I felt like Nicole was giving a little bit more of like, I'm infatuated with Daddy Warbucks. Like, she thinks he's attractive, but he was giving nothing in return.
Yeah, like the 82 movie definitely played up more of a connection, a romantic connection between those characters than the stage play does. There is that there, but yeah, there's the point where she refers to him as Mr. Warbucks and he says, call me Oliver, and it was just kind of.
And there's also a moment at the end where he holds her face, and I was just like, where is this coming from?
Yeah, it never really established in a realistic way that there was something going on between them. And it is more subtle in the stage production than the 82 movie, but it is there. And it makes sense. And this just, yeah, the call me Oliver. I don't know why that really kind of, I was like, huh? And and you kind of got that, oh, Oliver, you know?
So I want to hear your opinion on the bookends of this production, where you have all the girls dressed in modern clothes and like extra girls. Cause I don't know if they cast them as like understudies or something, like because of COVID and everything.
Right. We don't know who's dropping out.
Right. But it kind of gave me, this is a weird analogy, so go with it. It kind of gave me Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse vibes, where it's like anybody could be Annie.
Yeah. Okay.
I liked about it. Because it's, you start and then you see the costume change and you're like, okay, I guess we're seeing some behind the scenes stuff, but, and you accident, that the whole thing, you accidentally see behind the scenes stuff. But like, I appreciated that because like, Kavanya Wallace, who did the 2014 movie that I saw a couple of times, is like the first person of color to play Annie in a big production. And now we have Selena Smith as a person of color. And so like, you had all these girls there and they were all different. They looked all different ages and different skin tones and different heights and everything. And you're like, Annie can be played by anybody. Which I don't know if that's what they're trying to say, though.
Right.
That's my reading of it.
I think that is giving them too much credit. I mean, I definitely see where you would come up with that, and that does make sense, and I like that. I think you're giving them too much credit.
I think, yeah. I'm reading too much into it again, but I mean, they can take it and run with it.
I mean, go ahead and say that was your plan all along. But yeah, I think you're giving them too much credit. But I mean, I did like that. I did like the way that they set it up. I did like watching them, you know, run backstage and do a quick change and, you know.
Get out of their modern and into the costume.
I like backstage stuff, so.
Unless those girls were the singers and there wasn't actually like a track or something.
That could be too. Pit singers.
But like during NYC, there was definitely like the ensemble sounded, or there's some ensemble moments throughout the whole production that it's like, okay, are you actually singing right now?
Yeah, no, I don't know. I mean, I'm still, yeah. I think there were sweetener tracks. At the very least, there were sweetener tracks.
It also felt weird to end on A New Deal for Christmas, because like the Annie, I Don't Need Anything But You reprise.
Yeah, and I don't.
Felt like the end. And then we have.
I'm not totally sure where that comes in the stage. I don't think that's where it is in the stage production.
Let's find out.
I feel like.
So it goes, something was missing, Annie. I Don't Need Anything But You, maybe Reprise 3, New Deal for Christmas, Tomorrow Finale. So they kind of had it right, where the Tomorrow Finale is after New Deal for Christmas and the other things, but it felt, in this, it felt so definitive that the Annie, I Don't Need Anything But You reprise is the end.
Yeah.
And then they added, and then like when Rooster and Lily showed up, I was like, why are we here? Why are they here? I don't understand. And then the mic issues happen and I was like, uh-huh, live. And but like I did like that it ended with the sweetener track. There was definitely was a sweetener track
absolutely.
Of the girls lip syncing to Annie or to Tomorrow, I should say. But yeah. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we get into Sharp and Flat?
I think we hit.
We All right, let's do it.
Sharp Flat.
So in this section, we're going to highlight some moments, whether or not we talked about it. If we liked it, it's sharp. And if we didn't like it, I thought it could change, it's flat. Surprisingly, I have about the same of each written down. So what do you want to start with?
Let's start with sharps. Just because
Great.
I feel like a lot of this has been like, eh, why? So sharps for me is a lot of the bit in NYC where they're like supposedly at a theater and you see like a theater performance happening and like you see like real Broadway dancing and yeah, like so that was a positive for me. The fact that they put sign into it, even though I think they screwed it up,
you got to
but
see
you
it
got
in
to
a,
see it and I think it works very well. The costuming that they when they did We Got Annie, the dress they had Nicole in was very reminiscent of the yellow dress from the 82 movie.
Yes.
So I really like that was like I she came out in that and I went, oh, that's
oh,
like.
What did you think about the red dress? Now that since we're kind of on costumes right now, the Annie red dress.
It wasn't right.
I mean, I thought it was a new approach.
Yeah. I feel like that's something that's just so iconic, though. That's something you don't change. There are certain things.
I think they only added a belt and they took away buttons.
It didn't look right to me. Something about it didn't look right.
I did like that there was like some lace trim on it, but it felt like that's more for like a feature film than a live performance. Cause I barely saw those details on it. And like, I thought it was cute. I thought it was, you know, very simple, which is what you want to do with these dresses.
Right.
I like the little belt detail, but yeah, there, it was like, there's, it's just a little off.
Yeah. There was something
but
about
it was,
that just wasn't quite right.
But like, it wasn't bad. I've seen
No.
some bad ones.
Yeah,
Oh,
I'm
I've
sure.
seen bad ones.
Oh yeah. But yeah, so like those, you know, there were definitely good things. A sharp again would be, you know, casting an actual polio survivor as FDR. That was well done.
And I don't think that they even marketed that or had him go somewhere, which is their hindrance because it's like, oh, we have an actor who had polio.
Right.
Who is now playing somebody.
Yeah.
Did FDR, was he going through it at the time or did he survive it? And that's
no,
why he
he
was
had,
always in the
he
wheelchair.
had survived it at that
Got
point.
it.
It's not something, I think it's something he had like.
As a child.
I don't think I think he was a little bit older. I think he was like late teens, maybe early 20s.
Got it.
I think he actually did contract it a little bit older than a lot of people because yeah it was very much something you got when you were very young, but I think he was actually a little bit older when he got it.
Well,
and
the
he,
last time you were on, I said the Great Depression was in the 30s, so who
I
knows?
mean yeah you know yeah or the stock market crash was in 30 yeah the stock
Yeah.
market crash was 1929 and I just went with and I knew
You
and I
went
just went
with
with it.
it, so
I was like, yeah, that's what happened, sure, yes. Sometimes I just get so into the moment. I'm just like, yep, that's where we're going with that. Oh,
yeah,
my
we're
camera died.
Podcasting. Woo, we are.
Right.
Spouting lies
My
left and
camera
right.
died. Wait,
Do you have
my
any other
camera.
sharps?
Molly. I really liked Molly in this. I just thought that actress was really good. And like specifically that bit in Little Girls where she was like behind Miss Hannigan and
I'm agreeing with all of your sharps, by the way. And I
yeah.
was like, because I was really hating on this. Like, the violence was so true. So
Yeah.
I have two silly sharps
Okay.
and two serious sharps.
Okay.
My two silly sharps are a first sharp being that I found this shit on YouTube. it's free. Yes, there were
Yes.
commercials, but I
Yes.
could deal with
In the
that.
middle of songs, there were commercials.
You know what? It was a nice breather for some of them. And then my second silly sharp is all the terrible camera shots, sign being the worst.
Yes.
Because it was something that I was just like, I mean, it happens. It proves that it's live.
Right. And actually, I really like things like that because, yeah.
Yeah, it's fu I know it's silly and I'm like pointing out their mistakes, but like, come on. There's just some things you can't plan for when
Yeah.
doing a live show.
Yeah.
And even like, hell, I mean, Broadway does it, but like when you're doing a filmed live thing, shit's gonna go wrong.
There's a lot more moving parts involved.
Yes. I actually really liked Easy Street and that Easy Street, and that's why I sharped it. And then I'm also sharping Tytus Burgess because he carried this whole fucking thing on his back.
He did. He did.
Flats. Let's go.
Casting choices. And again, I'm still not entirely sure that it's actually the other than Harry Connick Jr. That was just no.
Yeah.
I'm not still not entirely sure that the casting was wrong so much as the direction was wrong.
So casting choices and the direction
Yeah, it just
are flats.
yeah,
Got it.
and the disconnect everyone seemed to have from what they were doing is a flat. The fact that I'm pretty sure some of those keys needed to be changed. Like you've got a big budget, you can afford to do the transcription and find the appropriate keys for people. It's just overall something about this did not work for me. It didn't gel as a whole piece. There are pieces of it that I liked, but as a whole, I'm not watching this again.
No.
No, absolutely not. And there's not even like a really good standout performance that I'd be like, oh, let me find that clip on YouTube.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you'll see something that's like, oh, this was kind of terrible, but this one thing was really awesome, and I want to watch that a few more times and see. I have no interest in any of it again.
Any other flats, or is that
I think that's it.
so? As much as I sharped and we love the camera shots, I am flatting the shaky camera work because it felt like it was a little too reality show-esque at points. I also am flatting how some of the actors are doing impressions of the 82 cast. Like, I think Harry Connick Jr. is trying to do Albert Finney, but Albert Finney at least was able to again find the nuance and everything in that character. And like I know you and I had a long discussion after You're Never Fully Dressed Without a Smile, where he throws down the paper and is like, I just did a thing. Like Harry Connick Jr. at least did something a little different where I understood that he was upset about it, but still, it felt like he was trying to do Albert Finney or he was just not present at all in this.
Yeah, but it was also just like it was a line reading.
Yeah. Only to say that my next flat is for Harry Connick Jr. I also am flatting the using of sweetener tracks because it's like this is the whole point of a live. You're watching a live production of something.
I mean, I can't fault that considering.
Right, but you hired an adult cast of
Right, but
Broadway actors.
But when you go and you look at the fact that, the whole title theme from Phantom of the Opera on Broadway in the West End, wherever it's being performed, is pre-recorded. And there are legitimate reasons for it.
Yes,
There are
this the
always there are legitimate reasons to do a sweetener track or a pre-record, and I can't see that as a flat.
I can.
I you are welcome to.
Yes.
I'm just arguing that fact with you, because
Well, so I'm more so arguing the fact that it's like I don't understand why in this show that you're adding them. It doesn't need it. Like there have been productions of this show that I'm assuming hasn't had it. So it can be done. And
Yeah, oh
you're
no, there's absolutely no real reason it was needed. I just that's kind of a I
like
don't
for Phantom of
know.
the Opera, I understand why in the titular song they are using a track because you have people running around the stage and it's like and it's one of the few times that Christine and the Phantom are off stage. So they need time. Because she's about to blow her head off with the high notes. With this one, though, again, I don't understand why they used it. That's why I'm flatting it for this. I'm not flatting the use of it in general because I understand the need of it depending on the show. But I'm like, you have Broadway. I know there are Broadway people in the ensemble who sing, dance, and do everything else in between 8 times a week. Why are they lip syncing to a pre-recorded track on this? And then my last flat is for the lack of a car chase.
I mean, everything deserves a car chase.
Well, it just it odd the tone is just so weird at the end where it's like Deus ex machina, Deus ex machina, Deus ex machina, and you're like
the end of the stage production in general is kind of anticlimactic.
right. And I figured that I was like, you could have done something. Like fucking Grease had a did the whole car like the Grease Live did the whole car race scene. It was bad, but they still did it. So like
Well, and I don't know if you saw the most recent Sunset Boulevard revival. That
with
was
Nicole
at
Scherzinger?
no. With Glenn Close at the pal the one that was at the
No, I did
Palace.
not
Like
see
it was
that
like in
one.
2017. So there's a car chase in that. And I think in the very original production, I think there was some projection used or something, but they did it in a very clever way in this revival with just kind of using what looked like car headlights with people like maneuvering,
Okay.
and it worked. It was like it was a very like you knew what it was supposed to be. It's not, because you can't have a big car chase on stage, but it got the idea across and it made it work,
Right. So, but that's just me because I want a fucking car
I
chase.
mean,
Like,
I
it
want a
only makes
helicopter, like a
sense.
helicopter and a bridge. And there was no elephant in the finale,
There
so
was no fucking elephant in the finale. How
on roller
could they?
skates.
Would you add any of the songs from this version of Annie to your life's playlist? I did write three down, I will
You
say.
did.
I did. Because I
Okay.
did like maybe. The first one with her, because I was like, belt it, Selena, yes. It's the Hard Knock Life was, I mean, it is the number of the show. It's oddly like an 11 o'clock number at like 1:15 in the morning. So like, it's the one that gets you going. You're like, I'm in Annie, yeah. And then I write down Easy Street because the three of them together sold it. Like I probably if I were to pick, I mean, I would probably pick that one out of all of them to really listen to. But I added the other two because I was just like, you guys, you kids did enough. You did it. You did your job. Proud of you.
Yeah, I'd probably Easy Street would probably be the only thing I'd want to ever hear again.
Because it's those three voices. Now imagine
Exactly.
Jane Krakowski on it. And on that note, Ariana,
Yeah.
we are done with the episode.
Thank God, no
You were
more.
convinced we were only going to do this for like 5 minutes.
I really was because I was so disconnected from it. Did I mention that as a flat? The complete disconnect from this was a flat.
You were disconnected while everyone else was disconnected.
Nothing was connected. Nobody was connected.
What do you have to plug or promote?
So I have been doing this regular monthly cabaret at Stonewall. It's called Stonewall All Stars, and it's a different theme every month. I'm not necessarily going to be doing all of them, but depending on
Right,
the
you
theme,
did like a Western night
I did.
not
Yeah,
that
like
long
the
ago.
very first one I did was like was called Y'all Stars. I
Leave
know, I know, because it
it
was,
to the gays.
right, exactly, because it was right after Beyonce's country album dropped, so the theme was country western. And fun fact about me, when I was 10, I thought I was going to be a country singer. So,
Oh, okay.
yeah, I thought that's what I was going to do with my life. So I, pulled out the song that I've been singing since I was 12 years old and
Glitter and be gay.
glitter and be gay.
The
With a country twang. And,
country.
but yeah, but then I did, but I did do Glitter and Be Gay for the Pride Month edition.
I'm so proud.
Yeah. Because obviously, what else am I going to do?
Was it at 3 a.m.?
I think it was more towards the middle of the thing, but
Okay.
yeah. But it would have been better if it was at 3 a.m. Because that's when the high notes are really, really
Let's
awesome.
be real here. You went home and just sang it
I
again,
did.
just because.
I went, we need to do those high notes again. But yeah, so I'm doing that. That's a monthly thing. Usually around the 20th of the month. It's a Monday, usually a Monday night. So just
Okay. Do they
follow
have a social
this.
media page or something? Instagram or?
They don't have, I don't believe they have their own, but Anthony Fett is the producer.
Oh my God, I love Anthony Fett. I need to
Okay,
get him
so
on. Tell him he has to come
I
on.
will
Tell
tell
him he has to
him.
come on.
So yeah, so he this is his baby and his production, and yeah, so it's a monthly thing. So if you follow my Instagram, like I said, I'm not necessarily going to be in it every month, but
You'll
if
post the
my
ones that you're in.
I will post the ones that I'm in. If the theme suits me and the schedule suits me. I'm
True,
there because
yes.
it's a lot of fun and it's a lot of really good. I mean, there's like actual Broadway people who come and perform in it too. So,
Oh shit.
Michelle Dowdy does it, and so it's a really fun night, and it's something that kind of challenges us to get out of our comfort zone with like musical styling, because
Okay.
the second one I did was millennial. It was like millennial. It's the theme was It's Gonna Be May. I know.
Oh.
I know. And I did some Save Ferris. So,
What?
yeah.
That's so different from what I know you just saying.
You don't think about that, you might have heard me sing. So it's definitely an interesting way to hear me do random things that I'm probably not doing in my own show. When and
Love
if I
it.
ever finally get that put together.
Well, is that it, or do you have anything else you have to plug or promote?
Nah, everything else is like it always is. It's like hypothetical. Maybe it's happening, maybe it's not. I don't know what I'm doing with my life.
So just keep an eye on the socials for
So just
Ariana.
yeah, just keep following Lady Aria underscore at Instagram and TikTok, and if I'm doing something, it'll pop up at some, it'll show up there at some point, and please, for the love of God, come see me, because
Cast her in something. Somebody cast
I
her in
yes, somebody
something.
cast me in something, and I am Tinkerbell, and I need applause to live. So,
Well, this marks the end of our live month. So if you liked this, I mean, there are two I specifically did not incorporate into this month because we're going to be doing them later in the year. So be on the lookout for those. And if you have Any thoughts on the Annie Live? I'd like to hear them. You can email me at buttersongpod@gmail.com. Us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at buttersongpod. I mean, this is our second themed month that we've done. I have one more. I have like three more planned for the year. So if you have any other themes that you want to suggest, I just said the socials, you let me know. And if you want to be part of next episode's conversation, well, we're going to be talking about Team America, World Police. Somebody picked it. I got to do it. And it's perfect because it's right on time for the 4th of July. Or right around the time of that. So America, fuck yeah. Ariana. Okay. We're done yelling at each other via pics. Yes.
Yes, no more Annie.
We are done with Annie. We've got Annie. We've got five versions of Annie. We're done with Annie. But everyone, thank you for listening and bye for now.
Special thanks to Aaron Choi for creating the pod's artwork and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast. And thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.